We have many customers that are using Amelia and the Amelia platform in ways that we could have never imagined. It's actually quite fascinating. We have an Australian healthcare provider that put Amelia as the front end for all their back-end applications that the caregivers were using.
Welcome to AI for Business Growth, the podcast from pioneering artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all business people, from startup entrepreneurs right through to Fortune 500 companies. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech to help you and your business to navigate through and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow businesses.
So today's show is about hiring a digital human or an AI to help you grow your company faster and more cost-effectively. Everyone is talking about AI taking jobs. So can machine learning and artificial intelligence powered humans take over some of the more tedious aspects of jobs today? My guest today is Ellen Anderson, who's the Global Director of Enterprise Solutions at Amelia, an IP soft company. And his company built a digital human, an AI, that does just that. Welcome to the show, Ellen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Let's start with a little bit about your background and how Amelia came into being.
Yeah, so I joined IPsoft, as we were called originally. We're now called Amelia, based on our major technology, a little bit over 6 years ago. Background is product management, product strategy, in some large software companies, and felt very compelled to join this new artificial intelligence technology and see where that would be going. So we've actually been doing advanced technology around automation, AI, for over 20 years in this company, although Amelia has been on the stage since 2014, which is by now almost 8 years actually been on the on the market. So we've been doing this for quite some time.
I think she's at version 5 now, is she? Or is it around there?
We're at version 5, yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Lots of things have happened over the last sort of 7-8 years.
Yeah, it's advanced quite a lot. This whole topic of digital humans in the workplace is a bit of a divisive one. A lot of people are worried about losing a job to an AI. And there's some people make predictions that there will be about 800 million jobs lost by 2030. Kai-Fu Lee, who was the head Google executive in China, but now is an AI investor and author, predicts that 40% of the world's jobs will be lost in the next 15 years. What do you think about these predictions?
I think a lot of them are probably accurate to a certain extent. It's always difficult to predict about the, especially about the future. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and you look at the jobs that were around in the 1970s, in the 1980s, the 1990s, many of those jobs don't exist today. Yeah. We don't have the same manufacturing that we used to have. We have a lot of robotics and a lot of technology doing that. The way a car is manufactured today versus a car was manufactured just 10 years ago or 20 years ago, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And if there's other studies that look at back in the beginning of the 1970s, when the ATMs were originally introduced, people said, oh, this is going to kill like all the bank tellers, and we're going to have it not any more bank tellers. And today we have many, many more bank tellers than we ever had before.
Yeah.
So roles change, jobs change, they become, with new technology, you can do more. So if you just go back 10 years, we didn't have roles with the social media. Mm. We didn't have the same type of jobs and marketing that we have today because of a lot of these technologies. So jobs evolve and jobs change. And I think using the advanced functionality of artificial intelligence and automation is going to change many jobs. Now, it will also eliminate tasks that you are doing today in a job role.
Mm.
But it may actually not eliminate the entire job, but you will just be able to utilize technology in a sort of a more hybrid fashion. And that's actually what we're seeing a lot of our customers do. So it's not that it will replace jobs, it will augment jobs, and it will change jobs going forward.
Yeah. As you were talking, it reminded me of those old photos from like the 50s with telephone switchboard operators and, you know, plugging in their different phones together. So, yes, it's interesting when you think back.
And a lot of it has to do with back then, how many phones were there in the world, right?
Yeah.
How many phones do you have now? And so it's also some of these things are the volume that is increasing, right? The scale by which things are being done right now. So how many interactions did you have 20 years ago with your bank?
Yeah.
How many interactions do you have now with your bank? Yes. How many transactions do you do on a daily basis, which would involve things with your bank? And how many did you do 20 years ago? So the scale of these things is what actually necessitates that you use automation and artificial intelligence to do these things. Otherwise, it wouldn't be economically feasible.
Yeah. It's very interesting because you're seeing AI coming in and taking over some roles, but actually augmenting others. So it's true, the way we work, and Amelia, in fact, I understand, has human colleagues that she works with. Is that correct? Yeah. What would you say would be the benefits of having a digital human working alongside a human in the workplace?
So there are benefits both for the human as well as for the maybe role or support that they're actually carrying out. So let's take a common example, call centers. Like people call in for support, for getting certain things done. We all know how we prefer to actually do things over the phone and talk to somebody. We do not like IVRs. We do not like pressing 8 and 7 and waiting to hear the whole menu again and again. Mm-hmm. So we want to speak with somebody. Well, that's what Amelia can actually do for many of these things. Yeah. But in the case that somebody wants to have something uniquely done or speak with an agent, Amelia can be collaborating with that agent sort of in the background, almost like a sort of a mini helper, looking over the shoulders, doing things. And the end result is that it's a more pleasing work environment for the agent. They can actually get stuff done faster, more efficiently, which everybody wants to do. Nobody wants to put a customer on hold for 2 minutes and go and find something in a back-end application if they can have Amelia do that for them. Mm-hmm. On the other side, the customers actually get much better customer service, and we're all interested in that. Right. So if we look at how various industries have evolved over time, like it is a customer requirement to get better and better support. Mm-hmm. So it actually benefits both the human agent that is doing this, as well as the customer or employee going in and trying to get services. You don't need to wait for like 5-10 minutes to get to speak with somebody.
Yes. And I have interacted with Amelia quite a few times, and I'm so impressed how her mind works so that she can actually do things like change. If you change mid-sentence what you want, she can pick up the new meaning and answer the new meaning, which, you know, the old-fashioned kind of chatbots couldn't do that at all.
Yeah, so a lot of chatbots have gotten a bad reputation because they were basically doing decision trees and mimicking what an IVR would do. Right. Or they were mimicking what a form on a website would do for you. And so you feel that you're just sitting and typing into a form instead of actually just explaining your issue. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of Amelia in a nutshell. Right. Mm-hmm. It is we spent a long time and a lot of energy on developing a very flexible and dynamic experience so that you don't have to follow a decision tree. You don't have to, you can change your mind in the middle of an engagement and say, you know what, let's change that to something else. And Amelia want to understand those things and be able to adapt to that. And so that's how most humans actually like to be serviced. They don't like to follow scripts. And we see it a lot especially in call centers, but also in employee services. If you have to go in and do something in your HR application, you likely don't do that every day. You do that maybe every 3 months or 6 months or something like that. And so you don't know how to navigate all these applications. Why not use conversational AI to allow employees to work with these applications that they rarely use?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I think we'll see a lot in the future, is how tomorrow's applications will be semantically enabled. You will speak with your applications or with your systems the same way that you would seen it in science fiction movies almost. Because most of what you can do with a mouse and a drop-down menu and a click and navigate and all that stuff, you could say that in short sentences and get the feedback in a dialogue and get something solved in 30 seconds, which may actually take you 2 minutes to do in an application.
Mm. What kinds of jobs does she do? What kind of breadth of jobs have you seen companies use her for?
So a lot of it is in customer service, customer care, especially over voice. So call center efficiencies, especially in high volume use cases. So we have customers that on any given day, especially Monday morning, may actually have Amelia speak with like 1,000 to 1,500 people at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So call centers is high volume. Internal services, IT, HR, finance, helping with those things. And then what we also call like a whisper agent functionality, that's where Amelia will work with an agent in real time, getting information, carrying out things. So it's very often in those things. And then there's the website concierge type deployments, where people may go to a website and can't find what they're looking for, may ask. We've all seen those sort of chatbots or virtual agents on there. That's a common use case also. So lots of different use cases. It's not a set approach always. We have many customers that are using Amelia and the Amelia platform in ways that we could have never imagined. It's actually quite fascinating. We have an Australian healthcare provider that put Amelia as the front end for all their backend applications that the caregivers were using. And it was because they didn't know how to fill out all the information in these applications. And so they weren't updating the records in the way that the company wanted. So they had Amelia interview them. So Amelia is now a semantic interface to all those applications and knows how to fill out all the information. They know who they're speaking with, so you don't need to type in your name again. All those things become very efficient. And they're actually working on now allowing Amelia to be at the beginning of the shifts. So she will kind of be giving them a punch list of what they should be doing in addition to their normal tasks. But based on activities in the systems, Amelia will kind of do like a punch list and saying that these are the 5-7 things that you will do. So we'll see a lot more of that, I think, sort of going forward, where people are coming up with innovative ways where they can use this technology.
Yeah, she's obviously quite active in bank customer service, telcos. Now I'm seeing healthcare. What about legal? Does she do anything in the legal profession?
Yeah, so we have a couple of customers. One that is very special and near and dear to our hearts. She's a company called Ken Nugent, or a law firm, personal injury law firm. Mm-hmm. And they've been amazing to work with because they really had a completely different vision. And so for them, she is not only on the website doing the intake of new clients, and she'll actually take them through questionnaires. She'll send out information. She'll get them signed to the company. So she's actually doing the sales role of that. But she's also on the phone. So she answers all the phones for the entire company and will also do intake over the phone. And they're now looking at moving that to being much more proactive. So when a lawyer would normally call out and give information about a change in maybe an insurance company had come back with an offer or a court date had been scheduled, Amelia will eventually be the one going out and talking with these individuals and explaining those things with them. So huge efficiency gains in an area that you would normally never think. You would always think banks, insurance companies, those types of things.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And she's also been used for 24/7 market research. So when people have been talking about things online, she can interact with them and feedback that data, that language data.
There's lots of examples of how you can suddenly have like 24/7 coverage, but more intelligent coverage. So
yes.
And want to be mindful of the difference between a sort of more of a rudimentary decision tree driven chatbot and then a more sort of complete dialogue and conversation that you can have. So for one retail store, chain of retail stores, Amelia does all the scheduling, for instance, that's a very common use case. And she schedules, I think it's between 200 and 300 concurrent. So you can imagine the scale of this is actually quite large. But there, it is a conversation that goes about, on average, 5 to 7 minutes. Do you have to ask yourself, when was the last time you spoke with a virtual agent for 5 to 7 minutes and you actually had a good experience?
Yes. Right?
Most of these chatbots that sit on a website, they give you FAQs, they redirect you to another webpage, or they have very limited multi-turn conversations with you. And very quickly, you run into this notion of, I was expecting something like, right? And then you know that you're stuck in some IVR tree where you have to select one or two or three.
Yeah. I've lived that nightmare myself. How do you think companies are accepting Amelia? How are the colleagues that work with Amelia accepting her as one of their colleagues?
It's rather well. It obviously has to be introduced the right way to a company. We had one large bank or mid-sized bank here in the US actually do a competition around the name. And so this was Sterling National Bank, and they call her Sky. And so Sky became this sort of digital colleague that people felt good about, because not only did she actually answer all the phone calls that came in and help the call center and so forth, and she handled about, I think it's a little bit north of 50% of all incoming queries that are coming in, she handles end-to-end. So she freed up a lot of people to do other things, but it's the personification sometimes that actually makes all of like employees be aware and actually like working with these. So the whole idea is we want to make sure that this becomes a positive experience. We spend a lot of time in our implementation teams and also with our partners in making sure that when you launch these technologies, you know that they're actually going to be successful. Like yes. There's a lot of technology in between, like starting up with a use case, getting it done, developing it, integrating into backend systems. There's a lot of moving pieces and parts that are all very, very important. I'm not going to take you through that, but I have for many of our customers, I have a single slide that's known as Everything Matters. And usually when you say everything matters, it means nothing matters because everything is a priority or everything is important. But in this case, it actually is. And people need to understand that, because if you go out and you get a bad experience, people will stop using you right away. And enough people have had bad experiences with chatbots on websites, especially during COVID as well, that they're going like, yeah, I'm not going to go there. Give me the phone number so I can call. When you introduce these technologies, you need to make sure that first of all, it works, but also introduce it the right way so that the agents and the other employees in the organization can see the benefit of these technologies, not just from a cost perspective, but that is actually improving the work that it is that they're doing.
Yes. I actually have seen with one of your customers, they had done customer satisfaction surveys after implementing Amelia, and their customer satisfaction went up dramatically.
Yes.
From when they had human agents. So it just shows the power of a good digital human.
And obviously, sort of in full honesty, a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that you don't sit on hold for 5 minutes.
Yes, that's a huge, longer.
So it's almost like you in some of these large industries where they have large call centers and get a huge influx of calls, you have to ask yourself, what is good customer service, right? Is good customer service that you get a human to speak with that fixes your problem, but you have to sit and wait on hold for 10 minutes? Or that you speak with a virtual agent, which hopefully can help you and usually will, and but otherwise will get you to a human, but you can actually get your thing solved in like 2 minutes.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So that's what we're seeing a lot of times is where would it be wonderful that we could all call in and speak with a human to get our problem solved in split second of a time? Yes. However, from an economics perspective, it's just not feasible for most companies to have those calls in. That's why, in many ways, the IVRs are really routing groups and they're queuing,
yeah.
right? They
yeah.
put you in the right little area and then you have to sit and wait on hold. And I was actually on a call the other day with my health insurer. Mm. And spent a lot of time sitting and waiting and finally got to speak with somebody. And she said, let me put you on a hold and I'll find out. And then she must have done something wrong because I went straight back into the IVR and having to validate myself and go through the whole thing over.
Oh my gosh.
Very, very frustrating. So we don't want to have those. So for many of the things that can be solved that are very repeat, I think people will be very well suited and understand that, hey, I can go through an automated thing because I can solve this in 3 minutes instead yeah. of waiting on hold.
And she's not really an automated thing because her brain is so powerful. It's so human-like. It's quite impressive. I've had a tour of her brain,
yeah.
and it's amazing.
Oh, it's interesting. There are like most people don't think of all these things, but people that go through Amelia, will almost all of them have unique experiences.
Yeah.
And that's what Amelia allows you to do because every single individual is somewhat unique. Their situation is unique, right? So
yeah.
they may come to the same end results and get their resolution done, but they may actually take a completely different path.
Mm.
And so even things like what we in natural language understand as a simple thing, if I say something to you, you will interpret it and you will react to that in very different ways. So
mm-hmm.
if I give you a command like sentence, you will understand that and say, okay, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I give you oh, that would be great, right? Then you may respond in a different way because I wasn't asking you to do anything for me. So understanding those nuances semantically and then driving that inside of Amelia's brain is important. And likewise, you can try this with a lot of chatbots out there. When they ask you a question, ask them a question back and see how they react, right? So with Amelia, she doesn't get stumped by that. She will just go, okay, you asked me a question, let me answer that or let me take that command and do what it is that you want to do. And then eventually we'll get back to what we originally were actually trying to do. That flexibility and dynamic nature of a dialogue and a conversation mm-hmm. is incredibly important because people take different routes to get to the same thing.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. I'm seeing a lot of large companies using her, and I know that I actually have a friend that uses Amelia, and she has a very small skincare business,
yeah.
and she uses Amelia. So you can use her, not it, for small companies and large companies. Are you seeing that kind of crossover, or are they still mainly larger companies?
It still is mainly larger companies, but it mm-hmm. is starting to become a lot more for specific things for smaller companies. So let's
yeah.
say you have a skincare or you have a small shop where you, maybe you're a hairdresser and you take reservations, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
And over time, you will just buy that service, that sort of a booking service or scheduling appointments and changing appointments and all that stuff. You will buy that from the cloud. And that can be delivered by Amelia or by some other technology as well, I'm sure. But that will be much more cookie cutter. Now, where we've been developing our technology is actually going in and making it much, much easier to build these use cases by anybody, by what we call citizen developers. So you can now basically design Amelia by talking with Amelia. You can explain to Amelia what you want her to do, and she will code herself. It is fascinating how these technology, which we in technology sense call low code, no code, but mm-hmm. this is now becoming even even more. This is, you are just talking with the system and saying, this is what I would like you to do, or how I would like you to program it. And then Amelia will do all the back-end programming herself, because she understands what it is that you want to do. So similar to how we have trained Amelia to be handling credit cards or resetting passwords or doing customer service, we've now trained her to basically build conversational agents. And so it will be much easier for the smaller companies to basically set these things up and do them for their own small little business.
Yeah, that's amazing that she can program herself just by doing that. But I guess the level of her sophistication with her semantic understanding is so strong.
One of the reasons why we actually did that is because there are many situations that Amelia will have to deal with that you cannot program. Like, you cannot predict them. There are thousands of them, and you can't program your way out of this. You can't create enough what we call edges and so forth. So it needs to be something that Amelia actually does on the fly. So she can even program herself on the fly in an individual dialogue with you. And that's why I'm saying that it might be that many people end at the same result and get their request fulfilled, but they may go different routes.
Yes.
And that's what you have to allow people to do, that because they don't want to follow these scripts. They don't want to follow an IVR the same way. So those things have always been, actually since Amelia V4, she's been able to program herself on the fly. And that's what we're now using in Amelia V5 to have her actually build entire working systems. Or you can take an existing transcript or a number of transcripts that you have in your call center and just feed them to Amelia. And she will go through them and basically build interactions and use cases.
So interesting. I was assuming that when you first get Amelia, you guys would be doing the training and then letting her loose. Let's think about people listening who may not be techie and may be thinking, but how do I code? How do I get her to do low code, no code? So what would be the process when someone comes to you and they want to use her? I know it depends on the use case, I'm sure, but what would be the process of getting her up and running?
So if you, it's a SaaS service, so you can sign up and get access to it sort of immediately. For training, for people who really want to build this, it is about 3-day training that we give people so that they understand the nuances. But with the new what we call Digital Employee Builder, you can more easily work with like subject matter experts and others that can do these type of things. Now, you may need some people to do backend integrations, although that's quite easy to do as well. But if you're not technical, you may not understand APIs and endpoints, although it is quite easy to do drag and drop with those things as well. But that's what's really needed. So if you have somebody that can do a little bit of IT work for you and do some of those integrations, that's going to be useful. We're also seeing that many people may use standard SaaS applications, maybe for scheduling appointments. Maybe they use an online schedule, and we could already have Amelia integrated with that. And then all you need to do is link your accounts between the two applications, and then you're up and running. So depending on how much out of the box this gets, it gets easier and easier to do.
If someone wanted help with that, you'd be able to, I guess you've got your standard applications of scheduling, this, that, the other. But if someone had something more complex, so those are out of the box, but if someone wanted something more complex and didn't have the IT support, you guys could help them get up and running?
Yes, either us or we have partners worldwide. Yeah. We're working very closely with many regional partners, but also if it's larger companies, it's more often like an Accenture or Deloitte or those that are helping to implement. But we do that as well. And sometimes what we do is we run a little project in the beginning where we show how these things are done, and then hopefully the customer can take it over. And then there's the one very important thing is actually the ongoing maintenance. Because once you put this technology live, just like any business out there, it will have changes to it. And how do you adapt to those changes? And that's actually really easy because Amelia will analyze all the interactions. We call that digital exhaust. Suddenly, you're now going from generating almost no information about how your customers are interacting with your employees to actually getting real data about how the experience is, where we couldn't solve it, etc. And Amelia is going to take all that and put it in what we call a sentient dashboard. And that's where sort of subject matter experts would go through on a daily or weekly basis and go in and constantly improve Amelia's performance. And so there are, it's becoming easier and easier for people to actually do this and maintain this on their own.
Interesting. Is it subscription fee or is there like a per interaction fee? Like, so is, do you have like a training fee up front and then a subscription fee? Or a, I guess so, it must be per interaction because some would have a lot, some little.
Yeah. So we make it very, very simple. Very simple and straightforward. It's a SaaS service. So you pay by the number of successful interactions that Amelia is having.
Okay.
So if you are, and of course there's volume discounts. So it can get really inexpensive on a volume basis because it's, if you have one of our large customers, it's a telco in South America. They do 200,000 interactions per day. So that's about 7 million or so per month or close to 100 million a year. So of course there's volume discounts, but even for small organizations, if you have to pay some cents to actually get an appointment scheduled instead of having somebody pick up the phone, that can be quite good as well. And that's the normal cost. So it's a SaaS service. If you're a large organization, a big bank, and you want it on premise, we can do that too. Then there's additional cost involved in that. And then if you want us to actually build the use cases for us, of course, there'll be costs associated with that. There's some startup packages that people can get, which are quite reasonable. To get up and running and to kick some tires and see if this is the technology that will work for them. And there's very little commitment that people actually need to do up front in this. We believe in our technology, so we believe that we can implement for you and have a partner implement for you, and you'll see the value in this going forward.
It's really nice. And you can change the name, clearly, because I've seen that in a few cases where she's been called something different. Can you change the skin? So the Amelia I've met has blonde hair and looks a particular way. If you were, for example, in Japan and you wanted a Japanese Amelia, could you change her face and what she looks like?
Yes. So that's all fully customizable. Actually, in Japan, we have one partner that it's a ninja squirrel. They have different ways of doing it in Japan.
Yes.
So they have that. A lot of people... See, if it's over voice, it doesn't really matter. You still have a personality, so you can actually personalize the voices. So you can make, like, we could take you and work with either a Google or a Microsoft or others, and in, like, less than a day, we would have a digital voice sounding like you. They can even now actually translate that to other languages, so it would be you speaking Japanese, for instance, if you wanted.
Yes.
We are seeing that people are creating their brand around these things, creating sort of, they don't want to sound like everybody else.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
They are actually investing in those things. And that all goes to creating a personality. And that's another thing that you can customize, not just the look and feel and fonts and colors and all that stuff, but also how do you want Amelia or whatever you call your virtual How do you want her or him to respond? Like, is it a little bit of a go-getter, they're a more formal one? You can change all those things.
Wow.
And we even have some of our large banks are actually detecting what type of individual it is coming in and then responding differently. So
Nice. Old
generation versus newer generation. So you can build all those things up and have different ways that the technology is actually behaving on it. That's, again, a little bit more advanced. And over time, some of that may actually come much more out of the box. We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So you still have to do some work in the personalization. But it's going to be much easier in the near future to actually do all those things and select your custom voices and maybe even create your own custom voices on the fly to see how you want to do this.
That means that she would be becoming like a human salesman often is, and detecting how the customer wants to be, you know, interacted with and interacting back in that particular way.
Yeah, and we want to be careful, obviously, that we don't go into the uncanny valley and make it sort of a little bit weird. But a lot of times especially for various companies that have very strong brands, you want to make sure that you align to that brand and the way that they want to be conducting customer service, et cetera, et cetera. So there is some investment. The golden rule is that if you don't think that you actually want to give the agent a personality, you already have. Like just by not doing it, you've actually given it a personality. So yes. Think about it. Think about if it's more over a website or it's sort of on a chat system like a Teams or Slack or others. It's usually icons. Those icons can actually change based on also sentiment analysis, other things. So that there's a lot of sort of dynamic nature built into these.
Absolutely incredible. I think what you guys have done, I mean, for a decade, is amazing. Just everything I've seen, every time I've interacted with Amelia, I just get so amazed at how impressive she is at so much. It's incredible. Yeah. If anyone listening wants to find out more about Amelia for your business, whether it's a small business or a big multinational, if you go to Amelia, Amelia.ai, you can get a demo, you can talk to people about her and maybe find out some more information.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today, Alan. I find Amelia amazing and fascinating, so I could talk about her forever. We may do another one of these.
Well, we do too. We enjoy this, and it's a fun place to be in right now because not only are you on the forefront on many of the AI technologies that are, and this is going really fast, but there's so many other technologies that are going to be fitting in with this
over
time that we can't really imagine right now. So it's all about combinatorial innovation that's happening in many different industries, whether it's healthcare or elderly care or gaming. Like, think about how these technologies are actually going to be part of what now Facebook called the metaverse, right?
Yes.
So there's so much investment that are going into these spaces, and that's going to actually be really interesting to see how those technologies are becoming or changing the overall ways that people interact with technology, with other humans, with virtual beings. Like there's going to be a lot of things happening over the next 10 years.
Yeah, watch this space, right? It's going to be an amazing area to keep watching. Thank you again so much for your time today. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Perfect.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Business Growth with Dr. Andre Bates. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your business, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating wherever you download your podcasts. For more information on the subjects covered in this episode, links mentioned during the conversation, or to connect with Dr. Andre, click the link in the show notes now. Plus, make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.